There'd be some preachers that just that wouldn't have done them just to win on. Right. But I'll never forget what Harold Wayne Holcomb said. That his daddy said. He learned a long time ago just to learn. His daddy said to learn to get out of God's way.
Right.
Ain't that right, preacher?
Yes.
And I've learned that through the years. Just it ain't about you. It ain't about me. Amen. All about the Lord. It's good to have Perry Robbins with us again this morning. Perry, you got a song on your heart? Amen. You pray for him. Lift him up to Jesus. He's from the Redeemed Church. Lift him up. Remember, the altar's open.
I just want to say I love the Lord, and I praise the day that He saved my soul.
Amen. Amen.
And pray for me while I try to sing.
Birds sing in the springtime, flowers bloom tall, leaves grow on a tree that was dead. Raindrops begin to fall, I can't figure out it all, how they could think that God's not there. Guess they thought it happened all on its own. They don't understand. They are so wrong. The sky is blue, the grass is green, prettiest thing I've ever seen. That's God. Yeah, that's gone. Wind blowing through your hair, even though there's nothing there. That's gone. Yeah, that's gone. Well, the doctors came to say there is just no way he'll ever make it through the night. And here we are today watching him run and play, and we know it's only by God's grace. They don't understand. They are so wrong. The sky is blue, the grass is green, prettiest thing I've ever seen. That's God. Yeah, that's God. Wind blowing through your hair, there's nothing there. That's gone. Yeah, that's gone. Dying on a cross, Jesus hung there, and Satan thought he'd have won. But in 3 days everything began to change. Our Lord defeated the grave. The sky is blue, the grass is green, prettiest thing I've ever seen. That's gone. Yeah, that's gone.
my daughter Carly come sing a song.
Forward to that day. I told them the other night in church, I've been praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I'm thankful I'm in the position I can pray that, Brother Earl. And I mean that. Thank the Lord. If you've got lost loved ones, I know you want them saved. But the effectual, fervent, private, righteous man availeth much. You keep praying. There's power in prayer. I thank God for conviction, don't you? Hallelujah. Sometimes I think we're guilty of asking people where they go to church or where we're soul winning. You know, just visiting is one thing. Soul winning is another thing. Sometimes we need to ask them, have they ever been under conviction? Or have they ever felt the conviction of God? Because if you've never felt the conviction of God, you ain't saved. Amen. I love the Lord. It's good, and it's my privilege this morning to introduce Brother Rocky Reese. He pastors the Faith Free Will Baptist Church there in Morganton off of Jamestown Road there. I consider him a dear friend, and I love this preacher, and he'll preach you the Word of God. You give him your undivided attention as he comes and brings us what God has put upon his heart.
Bless the Lord. Appreciate you. I count it an honor and a privilege. I feel I'm the least of the brethren. I thank God for these preachers here. Someone said, I got to attend Tuesday morning, and they said, I'm not nervous, I'm scared to death. Me too. I am going to stand. And I realize what an awesome responsibility that we have. And anyway, I thank God for you. I appreciate each one of you coming out. Good to see some faces I haven't seen in a while. It's good to have Brother Mitch and Brother June and Sister Pearlie Delafonte with us, or all, come be with all the way from the Philippines to be with us. Amen. You think you come a long way. But anyway, stand with us this week, help us out in Bible school. Do pray for our Bible school. Already seen three souls get saved this week, so we're rejoicing in that and give God the glory. And I mentioned Tuesday morning, I told Brother Jeff, I've got to remember I was here Tuesday, and boy, I tell you what, sometimes preachers, it's hard to be one place or the other. You can't be both places. And so anyway, I chose to come, and then I thought I'd go Wednesday morning, but found out the Lord called our sister home to be with him, and she got that healing anyway. Amen. And I'm going to preach a little bit on that this morning. Go with me, if you would, in the Word to Luke chapter 4. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 4, and then by help of the Lord, we're going to go over to Psalms 103. And by the help of the Lord, put these together. Luke chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 14. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. You'll notice here that the Lord stood when He read His Word. It's His Word. He was a living Word, by the way. Luke chapter 4, and picking up in verse 14, said, "And Jesus returned." Where did He return from? The wilderness. "And He faced the devil and beat him in the wilderness." Glory to God. I'm glad He whooped him on every hand. Amen. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. That's what we need this morning, preachers. "And there went out a fame of Him among all the region round about. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth." Now, Nazareth is His hometown, and where He had been brought up. "And as His custom was, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah, which when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" And verse 20 really spoke to me, and I want you to get this morning. This is really just an introduction. He said, "And He closed the book and gave it again to the minister." You know, preachers, we're called ministers sometimes. And it said the Lord gave the book again to the minister. You know, we need Him to give it to us this morning. God, You give it to us to give to somebody else. And you think about that. When He handed it back to that minister, that one there in the temple and the synagogue, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. That's what we need this morning. We need our eyes fastened on Jesus. Not one another. Not us, preachers. It's not us. It's not me and it's not you. We need eyes fastened upon Jesus. You see, now, that's what got this crowd mad here, you see. The crowd got their eyes off of them and got them on Jesus. And you'll see by the end of this thing, they didn't like it. "And fastened on Him, and He began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear Him witness." God help us all to bear Him witness. "And wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?' And He said to them, 'You will surely say unto Me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself.'" You remember when they stood at the foot of the cross and said, "He saved others Himself. Can He not save?" You know. Anyway, they said, "Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And He said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepath, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias and the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing among the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Let's pray. Father, once again, we come before you. As humble as we know how this morning, Lord, we need you. Lord, we can't do anything without you. Lord, we need that power from above. Lord, we need that unction, Lord. And I pray that your Holy Spirit just fill us this morning and move, Lord, in this place. And God, let your power be upon all each of these, Lord, here this morning, Lord, that you may stir us. So, Lord, we need a stirring. And God, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, as we speak to the ear, Lord, you speak to the heart. And Lord, I pray, God, that the name of Jesus will be exalted and glorified and lifted up above all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated this morning. Preachers, we need some spirit-filled, spirit-inspired preaching. We need that anointing. We can't do anything without him. And boy, I just can't get over it. He said he closed the book. And by the way, he's closed this book. You see, he's wrote it and it's completed. And the Bible says that no man add to it or take away. Right. Said he closed the book. I know it means he literally closed the book and handed it in to the minister. By the way, he could have quoted Isaiah to him. He knew it all. Right. He was God. But he handed it to him and he said to sit down. And the eyes of them were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. I think our problem is today sometimes we get our eyes off of Jesus. And we'll get them on ourselves or on our problems or on someone else. No, we just need to focus upon Jesus this morning. He returned in power from the wilderness. I tell you sometimes that we're in this world and it feels like a wilderness. But you know what? Our trials and temptations and all that we go through, if we'll let it, it should draw us closer to God than lead us away from Him. But we need it. And He came to Nazareth, His hometown. And I tell you, it's harder to preach to family sometimes than any others. Because to just to them, you're just Rocky. You're just Jeff, you know. And but this was just Jesus. Is there not this Joseph's son? Oh, he was the Son of God. And they didn't want to recognize that. But he read there and the message kind of comes from 18 and 19 there. What he read said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You know, preachers, and I thank God for camp meeting. And it's much more than just preachers, but I'd like to come in the camp meeting and get my cup filled up. Has God, I ask you, has God anointed you to preach the gospel this morning? And glory to God, what we have, I just got to thinking, man, we have something to share with this world. That the world, one thing, they don't even know they need. But they don't have to give to anybody else. You can't go down to Walmart and get it. We have something great to share with them. And I thank God. He said, I've got something for you. And He said to preach the gospel to the poor. And I believe He looked at some of them priest in them in their big fancy robes sitting there. And I believe he looked to my eyeball to eyeball and said, I come to preach to the poor. And they thought, me poor? I'm not poor. I'm not needy. And all this, because they could not see their need of what he was trying to tell them. And you see that when you get on down where he said, was there not many widows in Israel in Elijah's time? But you know the widow he went to when he first went to it. Now, by the way, if you go back and you read that story, you'll find God had told her already that he was going to send Elijah unto her. Now, she knew he was coming, but God said, because God, he told Elijah, said, I told this widow, and she's going to feed you. Now, when he got down there, she was kind of, must have been a free will Baptist. She was having a bad day, because you know what? She said, I'm going to go back. I've got, what in the world does God want me to do? I've got this. A little bit of meal and these sticks. We're going to eat this and maybe my son's going to die. And he's wanting me to do what? But you know, by the end of that story, she got things straightened up and she got them right. And she did what God wanted her to do. And I believe he was looking at them and he knew what he was saying to them. You need to get it straightened up. You're supposed to be the religious leader. You're the one supposed to be leading this place and telling people about God and doing what God would have you to do. But it said this to only one widow. He only sent it to one widow. What about all the other widows? In other words, they didn't do. God did through this one. And Naaman, the leper, at first, you know, Naaman was resistant of what Elisha told him to do. But he got that thing straightened out, didn't he? at the end. I believe he's saying, I think one message he, and that's why they were, the brothers said, unless somebody's got under conviction and seen they're lost, you'll never get them saved. And that was their problem. They could not see a need that they needed Jesus. They didn't see a need of anything that he was trying to tell them. But he said, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, I want you, I want to see some things. I thank God, boy, what a blessing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, don't get these backwards. Don't go back because I'm not, you know, these preachers, this prosperity preacher. Now, I do want to say this. He said the gospel to the poor. Now, it's not just the poor that don't have any money in the bank. If you don't have Jesus, you're poorer than the poorest. You see, the gospel, first of all, sin is poverty. Now, I didn't say poverty is sin. There's a difference. You say, how's the difference? You see, Jesus said, the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Are you with me? But sin, if you don't have Jesus, my friend, you don't have anything. Sin, if you're in sin, you're in greater poverty than the widow that only had 2 months to put into play. Sin is poverty, but salvation is riches. You might not have 2 nickels to rub together, but my friend, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are rich beyond measure. We're part of the royal family. Brother Nathan sung about the other morning. Thank God. What a benefit. What great. I think sometimes we get all down in the glooms and the woe. But praise God, we got something to look up and shout and praise God about. Thank God. And to know, to go from want to wealth when you get Jesus. Because you're in the greatest want. Those that don't have Jesus, they have the greatest need or the greatest want. But it's from want to wealth. And then we also see here, he said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. What a great... By the way, sin is sickness. I did not say sickness is sin. Of course, if we would have never got sick if man hadn't have sinned. I understand that. But all sickness is not because of sin. But sin is the greatest sickness anybody can have. Sin is worse than cancer ever thought about being. Sin can destroy you for all eternity. Sin is sickness, but salvation is health. You say, why that? I had a dear friend I mentioned to you that she's in heaven now. Praise God. She's healthier than any of us. Salvation is health. Praise God. Oh, you might be laying in a hospital bed. I've witnessed, and you have too, preachers. Someone laying there dying, and you see them get saved. Praise God, they're healthier than they've ever been in their life. And they said, yeah, but they're getting ready to die. They're getting ready to go to heaven, praise God. They're going to get that healing. What a benefit it is. What we can share with them. We got something greater than anybody else has to share. And sometimes we hold on to it and we don't share and we don't tell others about it. And it's he said to and recovering of the sight to the blind. And I set at liberty them that are bruised. Oh, to preach deliverance to the captives. It's getting to know the Lord. It's passing from bondage to liberty or prison to freedom. It's sin is bondage. The devil has you bound by sin, but salvation's liberty. Glory to God. You know, now others have had prison ministries. I've never preached in prison before. I've been in prison one time. Jail, I visited there, thank God. I had a fellow went to my church at the time, and he said, preacher, come over. And he worked down at the Burke Catawba Confinement Center. And I'll never forget the feeling that I had when we walked in. He said, come on in. They had to buzz in, you know, and open. And he opened them that jail door, and we walked in. And to hear them bars slam shut just sent cold chills down my spine. I was ready to say, okay, I've seen that. Thank you, bye. But you know what? I've always wanted to say, you know what? You want to get out of this prison? Get saved. With the rapture take place, well, glory to God, you're gone. Amen. You're out of here. But I'm going to tell you something. Their sin is worse bondage and worse being. It's worse than being in that prison. You see, Paul and Silas and them, and a lot of them spent a whole lot more time in prison than this. But see, they were freer than anybody in there. But what a benefit it is. I just want to get that in a minute. But then a passing from blindness to sin. Sin is blindness. I didn't say blindness is sin. Franny Crosby and someone wrote some of the greatest hymns we still sing them. God used the blind. But sin is blindness. Because a person that is in sin and cannot see the Lord Jesus, they're worse off than a blind man that can't see. I was in Hickory one day, and I tell you, my heart just goes out to someone like that, but I was in a hurry. You ever been in a hurry? And I looked, and I was going to go through the drive-thru because I was in a hurry. And I looked, and there was a blind man. And he had walked, he was behind Wendy's there, and I don't know how he got there or what. But he must have got confused, but he was walking, and there was a wall where the trash dumpers was, and it was like there's a wall, and it went all the way down, and then the brick wall come all the way down, and there's a busy highway. And I looked, and this blind man was along the wall trying to figure out. My heart just broke. And I was in a hurry. And the Lord said, go help that man. I said, Lord, I'm in a hurry. He'll figure it out. And I got in line, and I had to get out of line. So I went over and I said, sir, he said, I'm trying to get home. But I got to talk to him about Jesus. I said, get me by the arm. And he said, I'm trying to go north. And he kind of told me where he was going. And I said, he said, no, if you'll just get me across the street and get me on. And I got him on his way home. He knew the Lord. He was really already on his way home. But anyway, you know, I'm just saying. But sin is a greater blindness than that man. But we got something great to share. And I think sometimes we forget what we have to share with this world. Go with me to Psalms 103. I want to go over here and I'll help. I'm just trying to mind God this morning. I do desire your prayers. the great benefits of knowing Jesus. See, these fellows there, when Jesus was sitting there, hadn't you ever just longed to just be able? And he said his gracious words. His gracious words there before we leave that to go over here in Psalms. His gracious words. You see, they were still under the law and they would condemn you. And for any little thing, they condemn you. But Jesus spoke words of grace. He came to set the captive free. Preacher, what? You know, they didn't like him, gracious word. Either you'll love him or you'll hate him. Jesus said that. You know, you're either for him or you're against him. There's no middle ground. Someone talked about, I started to say, I know who it was now, talking about, we say straddle fence. There is no fence. You're either on this side or that side. Brother Harold preached that, I believe, at our revival. But anyway, we forget. Go with me to Psalms 103 and, what great benefits of knowing Jesus. And I think we forget that what we have to share. It said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And that all that is within me. And you know, each one, I want to just stop right here and point out something that I haven't found. You might say, well, right there is one. But I haven't found it yet that each one of these that start Psalms that bless the Lord, O my soul. You know what it ends with? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Have you ever noticed that? Anyway, don't look now, but you can figure it out now later. Bless the Lord on every, or it says, and praise ye the Lord. That's another one that says, praise ye the Lord. It'll end with praising God. Man, we ought to begin our day, we ought to begin it praising and blessing the Lord and end it with praising and blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord on my soul and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord on my soul and forget not all His benefits. Forget not all His benefits. The servant Jesus. Do you have Him this morning? Do you know the Lord this morning? Have you told anybody else about it? Praise God. Now I got to thinking about this. And some of this we might say, well, that don't matter to me. And I know, and you understand in a moment. When I went to work for FedEx, I worked for them for 13 and a half years. But when I began, and I will say this, they had some good, what they call benefits. And they gave us a benefit book. And you know what? It said, read this and understand your benefits because you know what? They won't do you any good if you don't put them to use. Now hang on to that, because they said, you know, and so if, you know, you got this benefit, you can use this, but you got to know that it's in there. So I studied the benefit book to know what was in there. By the way, I don't work for them more. I haven't stayed in a long time. And you might say, they don't mean nothing to me. Of course, because they don't apply to you. But you know what? God gave us a benefit book. When you come to know Him, praise God, here's His benefit book. Glory. We need to know what's in it. Sometimes, I tell you, we live defeated lives. And we don't have all that God intended for us because we simply don't get the benefit book. It said here, you know, and even when I work for them, man, we go through something, or they had travel. You could go to places and get discounts. And you know what would get me later? After we went on vacation and paid all that, get back to, man, I could have done that for them. I didn't know all about that benefit. Well, it was too late then. But right here it said, forget not all His benefits. I'm talking about knowing Jesus and all that we have. That ought to stir a heart. You might say, man, I'm having a bad day. Just remember His benefits. Glory to God. I'm talking about we'll go from want to wealth, and a man from prison to freedom. Here we see, it said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Them gracious words I was preaching about. That's what Jesus come to share. That's what God gave us this morning. Here in, and I remember, trying to remember back, I believe FedEx even had something in its benefit book about if you had to go to court, you had to get a lawyer, they had to help. Well, guess what? You know, the devil tried to visit me later and he said, when you quit, you lost all these benefits. No, I gained a whole lot more than I ever had when I did what God would have me to do. I've got a greater benefit. I hate going to court, but you know, I was bound. We were facing a court of law, if you would, greater than any court of law in this land. One thing about, if you ever got a ticket or anything like that, you know you're guilty as sin. Some of you just living under grace and mercy. Amen. I even lived under grace and mercy coming back from Texas, driving 16 hours. Because you say, I know what the posted speed limit sign is. And you know, if you're driving the speed limit and you pass a cop sitting there beside you, you can just go right on by him. Don't have to worry about it. But if you're not doing that, you know what you're doing when you go by him? I hope he's still, I'm praying, he's still sitting there. Anyway, we're going, forget on all I've been, who, now we see here, when you go into a court, we stood guilty before God. Who forgive us all. This is a scene in a courtroom, if you would. The court of God's justice. The book of the law is open. And we stand before Him guilty. Amen. Now, going back to FedEx, it said, they told me, they said, if you ever get a speeding ticket, don't just go pay it off. Don't just go and just let them do it. Get it, because you'll lose your driving permit, and then guess what? You lose your job, you lose all your Bentley, and all this. You lose all that. So get something done about it. You know what? There's a lot standing. I stood before God guilty. But if I hadn't have got something done about it, I'm glad I took care of that thing. They said, get that ticket taken care of. Now, I didn't work our week, and I got a ticket. And I ain't had one in forever. I got it on the way to work. I didn't get it while I was working. Got it on the way to work. And so I had to take part. I had to use one of them benefits. But you know what? I stood before God guilty one day. But you know what? I'm glad I opened the benefit book. Opened the book and it said, I'll take care of all your iniquity.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. FedEx can get you a lawyer. But I'll tell you what, I need an advocate. Need an advocate in that day. Because the adversary, our accuser, steps up. And he's a liar, by the way. He didn't have to tell a lie. I was already guilty. He said, he's guilty. He's guilty. But I'm glad I am. Because you know, he steps forward and he said, but what sins are you talking about? They've all been washed away. He paid for them. He shed his blood for me. I thank God that, praise God, when we stand before God, we won't stand before the great white throne. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God, by the way. And we're going to give an account of what we've done in this body. But His mercy's high as the heaven. Amen. And He cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. What a benefit. Glory to God. I tell you what, that right there alone, we all could just call, Brother Frank Wood said, call recess and shout it out. That our sins have been taken for. If He didn't give us another benefit. He said, that's the only one in the book. That's all there is. Glory! That's enough! Because I had a great debt to pay, my friend. We've all sinned. And you know that crowd Jesus was... let your mind wander back to Luke there. He was looking at that religious bunch. But He's saying, I've come that you need to be forgiven. And He said, I've come to preach the gospel, good news of salvation to the poor. You're broke. You need a Savior. But you know what? And a lot of folks, you can stand and preach it today, and they'll just look at you and glare at you and get mad and wrath. I had a fellow come. His daughter attends my church, and she's from Kentucky, and he came down. And all I knew, she had said, pray for Dad. She had requested prayer many times for Dad. That's all I knew. I had never met him. And one day, they come down. They had a baby, and the lady and her husband had a baby. And Grandma and Grandpa come to see the baby, and guess what? They come to church on that Sunday morning. All I knew, she said, preacher, this is Mom and Dad. Good to have you with us today. I had the message. God already gave me the message the day before. I just preached the message. And she told me later, she said, Dad said, he'll never come back to that church, this church again. I said, why not? Said, because he knows that I told you everything that he did, and you stood and preached right to him. I didn't know him from Adam. And you know what? The Holy Spirit speaking. But all he did was sit and glare. That was conviction. This religious bunch in Jesus' day. Going back to the bed. See, by the way, what he was talking about, Jesus said, the Lord hath anointed me. This whole book is about Jesus. You can go from Genesis, it's all about him anyway. And here's a scene in the court. Praise God. One of the great benefits of knowing God is when we stand before God, guilty, Jesus will come and stand by our side and say, I've paid the debt. Amen. Another great benefit. And he said, I've come to heal all your diseases. One thing about when you work for FedEx, they get you a good doctor. But I know a greater physician than all the doctors that you can get, because it said in the second part of verse 6, who healeth all thy diseases. You know, they had a benefit. We'll hire you the best doctor. And I thank God for doctors. Don't get me wrong. When I go to the hospital, when I have a member laying there in the bed, I pray for the doctors and the nurses, God, to give them wisdom and knowledge, know what to do. And they've helped me before I preach that. But I'm glad I know where healing comes from. I'm glad to know the great physician, the greatest benefit, one of the greatest benefits that we ever have. Glory to God is going to the book. I know the great physician. He said, come to heal all your diseases. He said, I'm here. Jesus said, you've been looking for me. David wrote about me. The prophets wrote about me. And I'm here. But they would not accept him. But guess what? He's here today. He's here today because he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. What do you need today? What do you need? Do you need that healing? Glory to God. You know, I still believe in healing. Amen. I believe in the great healer. Amen. And there's never been, the cancer's no match for him. And they're nothing. I've seen them heal my brother. I've seen them raise up people. They said they got about a week to live, and I've seen them raise them up. Amen. Brother George Patton. I don't know if you know Brother George. He was in hospice. They said they got about 2 weeks or less to live. And he's somewhere, he's all over the globe now preaching the gospel. You know, God is able. But there's a greater disease that I had than cancer or anything else. It was a sin disease. But he said, who healeth all thy diseases? Remember I said, sin is sickness. Sin is sickness. It's better to have cancer dying and knowing Jesus than going to the doctor and him say, I've never seen a healthier man. They've been something like that and they've died before they've got to the car. But you know what? I'd rather know the great physician.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory. They show up in a hospital room. You know, when you go to the hospital nowadays, you know what they ask you first of all? You got an insurance card? Yeah. Yeah. And they want that. But before they ever treated you or anything, they coming around. Jesus said, I take care of it all. Glory to God. Sin sickness. We have a bodily disease. Sin. Some them. By the way, if Adam and Eve had never sinned, that man. But we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I want to say, Isaiah said, "And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity, and God swap away all tears." She sung a while ago. There's no gonna be no more pain, no more crying over yonder. I'm glad that when the great physician shows up in the hospital room, this is a scene from a hospital room, but I'm glad he showed up and took care of our greatest sickness of sin. Amen. And then go down another benefit. I'm talking about his benefits that we have. Forget not your benefit. Man, we were a slave to sin in verse 4 of Psalms 1:3. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. A slave, sold into slavery. See, we were a slave to Satan and to sin. But I'm glad, you know, on the, of course, there's stories in the Bible about who was it, Gomez, and one of them went down and purchased his wife off the slave market. You see what? Jesus purchased his bride off the slave market. We were slaves to sin. What a benefit. Glory to God. I'm glad when Jesus shows up on the scene. We had thrown our lives away. We bargained with the devil, if you will. And lost. We sold our soul for a season of pleasure. But I'm glad. Jesus answered, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." And you know, so sin is a great sickness. And sin has us in bondage. Sin breaks us in Leviticus. And he that is sold, after that he is sold, he may redeem again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin of his family may redeem him, or if he is able, he may redeem him. But you know what? There wasn't but one that was able to redeem us from sin. And that was the Lord Jesus. What a benefit. Folks, but you know, if we forget these things, sometimes the devil has us defeated. And he says, I've got you. Wait a minute. I'm going to go back to the book. I'm going to take him. We need to take him back. If you notice where I begin this message in Luke chapter 4, every time Jesus faced Satan, guess where he took him to? The book. Every time he took him to the book, he said, let me show you this. And he come away from that wilderness temptation filled in the power of the Spirit. When we face Satan, and we'll all face him, by the way, we can come into a camp meeting like this, get filled up, shout the victory, and you'll face Satan before you get home. But I want to tell you something. Praise God, when you face him, and I'll never forget one preacher said, he got in the car with me, and he said he was giving me a hard time. He said, I went and preached somewhere anyway, and he was giving me a hard time before I got back home. He said, I pulled off the road and got out. Now, I've seen people pass me. I've seen have people say the red light and look at me like I'm crazy. Because I'm sitting over there and he's crying. And no, I'm not fussing at the one in front of me that set through three green lights. You know, sometimes God will just stop you right there. I won't say I've never blown the horn out. Anyway, but sometimes, and they'll look at you too like that. Or if you ever pull up behind someone and you see a bumper sticker says, honk if you love Jesus. And you lay down on the horn. They forget that bumper sticker's on the back of their car. I like to do that especially right after the light turns green. Red, green. I hope you raise your hand praising Jesus. I'm the one because I love Jesus. Yeah, I don't go on because anyway. Then we need to remember these things. I was a slave. I was a slave. The devil had me. I was bound. I was talking to a friend this week. Well, matter of fact, in Bible school, we had a moment we were sitting there and how the liquor and the drugs and stuff had us bound. I had tried to quit some of it. Marijuana, I had tried to quit it. I tried to let it down and I'd take it right back. And you know who broke it? Jesus. Jesus. Man, our nation's in trouble. Did you ever think you'd see the day when they're trying to legalize and do? Our nation's in trouble. God help America. God help our churches. I'm talking about benefits, and I hope you like some of these benefits. I think in verse 4 also it said, "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." This is a scene in a throne room. You know, when you work for a company or a certain company, they will give you, I hate to keep referring to FedEx, but they give you a little award. If you do something, you go beyond and above, whatever you're supposed to. They gave you a little award. They called it a Bravo Zulu. I don't even know where they are nowadays. They gave me several of them while I was there, and I'm not saying that right. I'm just saying they don't mean that. That's a temporal reward. Anything, by the way, they didn't give you no money. They just give you a little, here, thank you. Why am I going to do that? Is this made of gold? It's gold-plated, I found out. You can't sell them. They're not worth anything. But here is a greater benefit. It's a scene in the throne room. Jesus said one of the benefits, He's going to crown us. He crowned us something greater than gold with tender mercies, with loving kindness and tender mercies. He's crowned us with something that gold cannot buy. What a benefit is in serving Jesus. He adorns those that He saves. He loves us, my friend, and He cares for us. This poor pauper, if you would, God has crowned me with loving kindness. He's been good to me. I believe He's been better to me than anybody in the room. Because if I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell with my back broke. I heard a preacher say a long time ago. But He's crowned us in a scene of a throne room. Titus says, "For we ourselves who were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." You wasn't like that, was you, preacher? You was too. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. I thank God for the benefit of knowing He came to set the captive free. You know, you have the king on the throne room, and you have all the prisoners and the paupers down here. And Jesus said, "I'm going to move you from down here to up here." Glory to God. Maybe part of the family of God. I tell you, that means something to me this morning. And I think Christians, if you're not careful, going back to our text where it began, I told you, just trying to, the Lord, for some reason, was just putting these together, getting our eyes on Jesus. It said all the eyes were fastened on Him. We should never, when we're standing behind this sacred desk, folks are looking at us, but we ought to say, keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't get them on me. I tell my folks, I say, pray for your pastor. I try to walk and set the example. Paul said, by the way, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And as we walk and what we do and the lives we live, someone, we all be following Christ. And when they follow us, they're following Christ. But I say, keep your eyes on Jesus. And then finally, and I'm done, in verse 5, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." I'm going to tell you something. FedEx, they could put on a spread. Now, they would take you to a banquet hall for a long time. By the way, you can be an influence in your workplace. And I don't say this bragging in any way, but they would throw these feasts. And man, there was a black fellow I worked with. I went down to his church. Man, we have a time down there in the Lord. Hey, they'd have revival, and man, they get the same. They didn't. By the way, they didn't care. They didn't care what time it started. They didn't care what time it got done either. Man, matter of fact, I was working at FedEx when I surrendered a call to preach, and I'll never forget the day they honored the pastors. I went and sat down. Me and Sue sat back there, and he come back, and he was a deacon. And he said, "Preacher," it's what he started calling me after I surrendered to preach. I'd run for so long. He said, "Y'all come up here," and they'd set you up here behind, you know, the pulpit when the other preacher was preaching. And I was the only white fellow sitting up here, and Sue was the only white person sitting back here. Anyway, we had a time. You know what? They loved you. And you know, right here, this is the greatest separation we're going to ever have. We're all going to heaven. But glory to God, what a time we have. But me and Wilbur stand together, and he was a bodybuilder. He was my bodyguard. Man, I love Brother Wilbur. Anyway, still do. He's still serving with God. I said this. They would throw these banquets. They would throw these feasts, if you would. But we didn't go for a while because they was going to be pouring the toddy and all that mess. And we wouldn't go. And they come to us one time. They said, "Why won't you fellas come to these?" We said, "Because we don't drink, but we don't like to be around that." We just wouldn't go. We didn't go. And so he said, "I'll tell you what." Me and him got together. He said, "We'll tell them this." He said, "If you won't let that flow, we'll come. If you won't serve that junk, we'll come." Well, you know what? They said, "That's what we'll do." Well, they waited. They said, "We'll hold it till they won't serve any." You know what we got to do? We got to go and pray. We got to go and we was a light. And it wasn't that we looked down at them. They know we loved them. Because we showed our, we'd tell them we loved them. We just can't do that. That's our conviction. We can't take part of that. And they said, all this mess. And what they'd at least done this, they kept it all in the back. And they wait till the very, and then after we was done, we was ready to go. And then they had their shot. And I wonder how many of them, they couldn't even, I thought, "Lord God, help us let our light shine. Help us let our light shine." But I thought, here are the greatest benefit. Man, they would throw a feast and it was great. But I want to tell you something. I'm looking for the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm looking. He says, "Satisfied, come out." You know what? By the way, at one point in my life, when I was out, I would have partook of all that mess. The world thinks it's having a big time. They think of enjoying all that. But you know what? We got something greater.
Thank you, Lord.
And you know what really gets me? Sometimes we're ashamed to share it. But you know what? Living for Jesus far outshines that mess. Man, you don't have to wake up with the headache. You don't have to wake up in all the misery and wondering where you was at the night before and what you did. Glory to God, we can wake up this morning and know if He comes back today where we're going. And I like what the brother said again. I just feast on these camp meetings because you can always get something that you can use. And Brother Nathan preached the other morning, praise God, Lazarus went from the tomb to the table. We were in the tomb. You say, no, we were dead spiritually. And guess what? When God saved me, I went from the tomb to feasting from His table. I'm already been feasting with Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
But one of these days, if you visit a little grassy mound, you say, the preacher's gone. I'm gone or I'm going to heaven. Amen. But I tell you what, He's going to come back one day. And we'll go from the tomb to the table. What a benefit it is serving Jesus. Forget not His benefits. When the devil's giving you a hard time, just take him back. Say, "Let me open the book. Let me show you what I've got." When everything's falling apart and he said, "You're losing everything you got." No, I'm not, because it's laid up over yonder.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. Forget not all His benefits. God help us this morning. I tell you what, Christian, we got something greater than the world could ever offer us.
Hallelujah.
Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Don't let the devil come and get your eyes off the Lord. And you just keep on serving God. Because one day it's going to be worth it all.
Amen.
It's going to be worth it all. You know what? Jesus won't stay where He wants. He won't want it in that place. They said, "We don't want you." And I'm afraid there's a lot of churches that said, "I don't want Jesus. We don't want Him." You know what? He comes in and messes up the programs. He comes in and I just like Him to come in and have His way in all that we do. Don't ever forget the book. Preach. Just keep on preaching the word, preachers.
Amen.
We're living, I believe, with all my heart in the last days. We see all this stuff coming to pass that we haven't seen in 50 years of our time. But forget not His benefits. Because you know what this is just telling me? When you go back and get in this book, it just tells me this. He is coming at the doors. It's just getting just a little bit closer. When we see things, I'm not looking for signs. I'm listening for the sound. We could hear, I believe with all my heart, we could hear it today. We're out of here. Glory to God. We're going. But I'm glad He's with us. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake." He's with us all.
Thank you, Lord.
Just keep your eyes on Him. Keep serving Him. I look around sometimes and folks, even in our church, and I know how you preachers are, folks that used to be in there loving Jesus, they're not there now. Some of them not even in church at all. Not serving. I thought, what in the world? What happened? Did you forget all that you had in Jesus? Did you forget all that He delivered you from?
God help us, folks.
That's the message.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I asked my wife if she would to come to the PM. All right, this altar is open. Thank the Lord for the Word of God. Forget not His benefits.
Thank you, Lord.
You need to pray. She's got a song on her heart.
Amen.
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 I am. never did take advantage of that. FedEx, somebody said I flew one time with them for training, but I never knew if you could jump set all over. I said, I'm going to jump set. I'm going to leave this
morning. Thank God. How much enjoyed the service thus far? Here's what we want to do. Amen. I'm going to let her play on the piano. I want us to fellowship. If you need a bathroom break, you can take that. Amen. And get you a drink of water. But this is not a dismissal. Amen. We got Brother Davin Johnson from Trinity Hill be preaching a little bit. Amen. And some more singing. All right.